Today we're going to keep going with our series on Blessed to be a Blessing. And before we get into the teaching, I forgot to mention earlier, we started Alpha last week, and it was very successful. We had four new people who found us online, and they all showed up, and it was very kind of spirited discussion afterwards, which is great. That's what you kind of want in an Alpha, so I was really thankful for that. And also, I read an article that I felt I ought to report to our church on because it seemed like it could affect some of you. How many of you are interested in using facial recognition for your computer or your phone? Anybody interested in doing that? Okay. Well, just as a warning, a woman named Karen Cummings one morning got up with her new Microsoft Surface computer, captured her image for its facial recognition system, and it refused to unlock. The reason being, when she took the picture, she like got dressed up, had curls and makeup, and when she got up first thing in the morning, the computer didn't recognize her. She went on to say, you know, the computer was like, oh my gosh, girl, you got to go back and fix yourself up. You're looking bad. She goes, I know I look bad in the morning, but I really don't want my computer telling me that. Then, this could be scary for some of you younger people. There is a woman, Tori Lovett of Bushnell, Florida, whose mom's iPhone is facial recognition, and she tried it on herself, and it worked. She's seeing counseling right now. No, actually, get this. This is like a happy ending to this story. Her mom found it funny, and Ms. Lovett said, it was so cool. My mom's beautiful and hardly ages, and I'm glad that like the phone recognized me. So that was good. All right, on to something more serious. The BLESS acronym. I was reading through a book by the man who uses this a lot, and he came up with a simple statement for it, and it's number one on your outline. BLESS, which stands for what? Begin with prayer. Listen, eat with people, serve people, and share your story are five simple practices to change your world. And that's a goal we have, right? As believers, we want to change our world. Last week, we looked at being a blessing by listening, that we all need someone to listen to, and that we should seek to understand where people are coming from, not to be in a hurry to just say what we think. And this week I've been reading Proverbs. I saw Proverbs 18:2, which is the first scripture on your sheet. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Or the NIV says, but delight in airing their own minds. That's America today, right? Everyone wants to say what they think, air their opinions. They're not interested in understanding where other people are coming from. So God says when we do that, what are we? Fools. Okay, it's really straightforward. So let's not be guilty of that. Amen? Today, we're going to look at serving. So your second point, something you've heard us say, it's an old saying, believers are what? Saved to serve. And that's a good motto for us. In Luke 17, second scripture passage on your sheet, Jesus said this, which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, oh, come immediately and sit down to eat. But will he rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. That's powerful, isn't it? So when the servants come in, they're expected to continue to serve until they get everything done, put the master ahead of themselves, then they can sit down and eat. So Jesus said we're to regard ourselves as what? Unworthy servants. I thought of something, came to me, I'm thinking about serving. I remember distinctly, this happened more than once, as a teenager, my mom asking me to do something. And I love to read Sports Illustrated, so I can remember saying, Mom, just a minute, As soon as I finish Sports Illustrated, I'll go and do that. Well, you know, like a minute goes by, 5 minutes go by. Finally, my mom, frustrated, like stomps off and does what she asked me. And I was like, Mom, I was going to do it. So what was wrong with my attitude? Yeah, exactly. I wanted to do what I wanted to do first. Then I would serve. So I had it backwards. So serving means you consider someone else's desires or needs more important than your desires. And that's what Jesus is after in us. So number four, to serve means to put another's needs or desires before your own. Serving is doing the will of another, not your own. It's a conscious choice to put aside my desires and meet the need of another. And again, whenever we look at Jesus, we think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But what? Not my will, but thy will be done. And I have to say, in general, Abundant Grace has a service mentality. I mean, today we've got clowns in the room because we're going to go and be a part of the parade. And one of the reasons we do that is the parade's not that great of a parade, to be honest. It has a couple good marching bands, but then it's just sort of politicians and different groups march. And it's not that great. So our clowns are actually one of the best parts of the parade. And it takes a lot of work. We're all busy. People are missing the service. We're going to run out and leave early and drive through traffic for half an hour to go someplace that normally takes 10 minutes to get there. So we can serve. But that's a good thing to do. So I commend you that. But can we improve? Yeah, can we be less selfless? Can we be more service-minded? Of course we can. Larry Crabb said this, true joy comes from self-denial, not self-gratification. And so we live in a world where we're constantly being told to seek out our own gratification. And so Jesus flips all that and says, well, hey, we're not here to be served, but to serve. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Die to yourself. Mark 10:45 said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as what? A ransom for many. The only reason we're saved is because Jesus considered us as more important than himself. He said, gave his life as a ransom. So that's our Lord. That's who we emulate. That's whose spirit is living inside of us. The Spirit of God in you wants you to serve. And I know there's times in me I'm just like, I don't want to do that. I know what that is. That's my flesh. You know, it's just my sinful nature rising up. And so I have to wrestle through that. But when I think of Jesus on the cross for me, it's like, yeah, I can die to myself. I can serve. So the next point on your outline, when we're thinking of serving, we should serve those already in your life. There's people around you, where you work, where you go to school, where you live, and we ought to look for ways to serve them because we're blessed to be a blessing. That's what God calls us to do. Secondly, serving others gets personal, so we need to learn to feel other people's what? Pain. And that's kind of a trite statement, but it's something that's true. We ought to learn to feel what people are going through. That's what empathy means. That's what having compassion means, like you're sensing the difficulty someone's going through, so you are willing to put yourself out for them. Just a couple weeks ago, Ingrid shared how she was on a power walk, coming down the street, this neighbor runs out, says, Ingrid, you know, I got to talk to you. A boy had been stabbed in the school where she taught, and she was really upset. And so Ingrid listened, the woman gone for like 15 minutes, and like gave her some encouragement, came home, and then she was like, she was upset. Because when you listen to someone who's really upset, it's upsetting. But that's what we're called to do. Jesus bore our sicknesses and pains. So we need to bear with other people's pains, their problems, what's going on in their lives. And this is a story with a good ending. There's a woman up at CVS years ago, and I go to CVS a lot, buying everything that's on sale. I got some, this is an aside, I got a note a couple years ago that says, Dave Hill, you are in the top 1% of savers at CVS. I said, I was really proud of myself. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I told Chris Griffiths over at City Church, who's a senior executive in CVS, I said, you are very soon going to get like a pay cut because people like me are like really taking advantage of CVS. He laughed. So there was a woman who worked there. I kind of befriended her and would chat with her. And a lot of things started going wrong in her life. And I say, what? Oh, she looked really down. And someone in her family got cancer. Someone else was sick. A relative died. And this is all in just a few months' time. And so then I saw her walking up the street one day. I said, hey, how you doing? She goes, oh, hi. And I said, you know, what's new? She goes, oh, God hates us. We're just waiting, you know, for something terrible to happen next. Like, what do you say to that? So on the one hand, I feel like, yeah, she's gone through a lot. Everything's going wrong the past, like, 4 months of her life. But on the other hand, I don't want her to think that, like, God hates her. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. There's all these things have gone wrong. But, like, God really does love you. And I tried. You know what I mean? I felt slightly helpless. Another month or so goes by. I come into CVS. She's smiling. I said, hey, you know, how you doing? What's up? She goes, I'm doing so much better. Well, a friend of mine, Jeff Bianchi, who's pastor at Community of Faith Church in Brighton, also befriended this woman. He gave her a book by Nikki Gumbel on suffering. And she read it, and she totally took it to heart. It gave her a complete different perspective on the world, that the world's a fallen place. And it's not that God hates us that things go wrong. It's because sin is at work. The power of death and the enemy's at work. That's why things go wrong all the time. But there's a God who wants to redeem us out of that. She was smiling. It was wonderful. And so I just, you know, Jeff did a great job of being a blessing to somebody. And we laughed about, like, yeah, we were kind of working together, ministering to the same person. But you have to be willing to bear with that. There's a part of us that's like, okay, oh, things are that bad. All right, I won't talk to you anymore. And we have to overcome that part of us that feels that way, right? Are you with me? I'm not the only one who's that bad, right? Thank you. All right, our next point. What's another way to serve people? There's power in words. How many of you have been really hurt recently by something someone said to you? Yeah, some of us. How many of you have been really encouraged and built up by something someone said to you? Yeah, there's power. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. I found this proverb, Proverbs 12, on your sheet. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. That's true. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Your words can bring healing, can make someone glad. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So that's the fill-in. Words are powerful, and we should seek to give grace. That we should pause before we say something. Is this going to give grace to somebody? Or if you see someone's down, it's like, Lord, is there some way, can I say something to them to just like cheer them up? Sometimes just saying hello, just smiling. Someone we know had a son who committed suicide. You know, that's awful. And I wrote them a note, and he sent me an email back saying, you know, Dave, thank you for your kind words. You know, my son struggled, you know, with his depression, and, you know, life just seemed overwhelming to him all the time. He said, never underestimate the power of a kind word, of a smile, of just, you know, just the small things we're talking about, being a blessing, because you could comfort somebody. You could help them get through, like, what, for us, we all have a tough day now and then, but some people, like, every day is a tough day. And we want to bless them, right? We want to be the one who gives grace, who makes their heart glad. All right, the next point for us. On your sheet, don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. You serve a big God. I really like this. I got this from the book Dave Ferguson wrote on blessing people. So he said, hey, if someone's sick, pray and ask God to heal them. And this summer, we had two healings at the park during our summer outreach. One was a woman now going to City Church, Agena, her back was really bad. I forget who prayed for her. I think Betsy and Janine, maybe. I don't remember. They just prayed for her. She came the next week, she goes, oh, I feel so much better. She actually told everybody else who was there that day. It was wonderful. Then at the annual outreach, Linda and Becky prayed for a woman who, like, was it headaches or hearing problem? Hearing. And she came back like 15, 20 minutes later, said, hey, I'm better. I can hear better. You know, I'm doing better. Just two people stepping out in faith. So we need to do that. In the book, he talked about there was a church, I'm forgetting where it was, that they used to go out in like the town center, and they'd have a little sign that said healing prayer. And people would come and like ask for prayer. I thought this was a great idea. And the pastor reported, when we pray for people in the church, we probably see about 10% of the people get healed. When we go out in the town square, we usually see about 80% of the people get healed. I was like, wow, glory to God. So I just appreciated that kind of faith. Like, hey, we have a big, if someone's addicted, pray for God to free them. If someone's in a hopeless relationship, pray for God to reconcile it. They had another testimony. This was another healing testimony. A man was at work. His boss said, oh, my son has hives. I don't know if I need to, you know, go home right now or what. It's just like he doesn't know where it happened. He's really in a bad way. He said, oh, can I pray for him? So he just prayed with his boss. This is like 1 minute little prayer. Boss came to him a few minutes later, said, hey, your God must be real. My son just texted me and the hives are gone. Praise the Lord. But, you know, it takes faith, right? It takes a step of faith to offer to pray for someone because we're all worried like, oh, nothing might happen. And I've said it before. I've prayed for lots of people. I've seen people get healed. I've seen lots of people not get healed. I don't think I can remember a time where I didn't pray for a non-Christian who, after I prayed for them, gee, thank you for caring enough to pray for me. That is almost always people's reaction. So just go for it. So we're going to look for ways to encourage people around us. This just happened to me the other day. I got my hair cut uptown. I went back because I met the guy a month or two ago. I think he's from Colombia. He's new to the country. You know, he's just trying to get established. So I said, oh, I found out he's a Christian. I was telling him, like, I was a pastor. His English is pretty poor. Another guy translated. He showed me his Bible. So it was great. I gave him a big tip. You know what I mean? I was like, praise the Lord. So I went back. He was there the other day, and we're talking some more. He goes, oh, I need study English. I'm like, yeah, your English is pretty bad. So after I was like, I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking, yeah, your English is pretty bad. So, but after I got my hair cut, I just went online. The Jackson Mann Community Center, just down the road, he takes the 57 bus to come in. They have an English language class, so I got it. I texted him the link. They have a phone number for a guy who speaks Spanish, so he can like get the information that he needs. It took me 2 minutes. Simplest thing. Oh, he's so happy. So, but sometimes I know I'm in a hurry. And so I'm kind of more like, you know, the story of the, you know, Good Samaritan. I'm like, oh, I'm in a hurry. You know, I got to keep going. Are you with me? Yeah. So let's just look for ways. Number 10, look to serve the elderly and the marginalized. Elderly people are lonely. Peter and I, we've helped a woman across the street from us. Her husband probably died 15 years ago. She's in her 80s now. And I'm so happy. We try and help her out, you know, just around. This past winter, I saw the guy next door was like using his snowblower, cleared her sidewalk for her. I went over and said, thank you for doing that. But elderly people need help. Evan got to befriend an elderly woman, lived next door to them. The woman loved it so much. She goes, can I hire you? You know what I mean? It was just like really great. David W. and Betsy, their community group, once a month now, is going up to the nursing home right up here, Presentation Nursing Home up on the hill on Bigelow Street, just opposite us. They just do an hour-long worship service. The last couple of times, over 15 people come. It's wonderful. And he said the last time they sang To God Be the Glory, which is an old hymn, and like everybody knew it, so they started belting it out all together. It was fun. But Jesus is honored when we do things like that. There are people who are lonely. There's people that are alone. Nobody's coming to see them at the nursing home. So you go up there once a month. Ayana, do you enjoy doing that? Yeah. You know, they love seeing children. So are you with me? Yeah, I can remember back years ago, we started a church in Amherst. We were out. We would go up witnessing uptown. We met an elderly woman in a wheelchair. She lost a leg to diabetes. Her name was Betty. So we just befriended her. Tina and another woman, Kathleen, they lived together. They went over there. They cleaned her house. They did her wash. They took her shopping. She was all alone. She had no family. All alone in the world. That's our job. That's what God wants us to do. Praise God. And it was great. She came to our church. She put her faith in Christ. It was wonderful. So let's not be afraid of serving and not being afraid of doing things that cost us and require sacrifice. You know, Jesus said if you lend to those who are going to give you back, what's the big deal? Sinners do that. It's like, we need to be able to give, not expecting anything in return. And it is a sacrifice, but that's what distinguishes us. If we're only very careful and calculating in how we serve other people, we're no different than the world. But that's a drain. It takes time. There's a guy from Truth. He got into college. I was really happy about that. He's the first person in his family to do so. He called Ingrid and me up a couple weeks before school. He's like, Mr. Hill, I don't know what to say, but like I don't have enough money to buy all my books. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I wasn't, you know, thinking too much about. Yeah, he's got to get. I said, come on over. We ordered his books. We got them for him. Then all of a sudden, I'm realizing. I said, how are you going to get to school with all your stuff? He goes, I don't know. I said, okay, I got to take you. Do you know what I mean? It's like took like half a day for me to do that, but I had to do it. Right? Somebody has to do that. So we have to be willing to do that. Praise God. I'm glad I did. I was so happy to drop him off there, and he's rooming with a guy from his school. It was great. Our Faneuil outreach to encourage you is going well. And last week, there were two girls who a year ago wanted nothing to do with like homework. One girl says, Mr. Hill, I hate school. You know, I never pay attention. I said, well, that's not going to help you much. Well, we keep at these kids. This year, she spent almost an hour and a half doing homework on Tuesday. And it was hard for her. She was like kind of agonizing over it. We kept saying, do you need some help? She's like, no, I think I'm getting it. I think I'm getting it. Praise the Lord. That could be the difference between her becoming a success in life and not being a success in life. That's why we're there. All right, let's read this last scripture together, Luke 22, at the bottom of the page. Let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. That's our aim. Number 11, I forgot to share this one with you. We enter the world and we leave this world dependent on other people. And I think that's important. It's like it's our job to care for little ones and it's our job to care for the elderly. And you'll reap what you sow. If you do that, someone's going to take care of you when you're old. And lastly, becoming like Jesus is God's goal for our life. Amen? I mean, the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of becoming the least, serving others, not looking out for number one, but counting others as more important than yourself. Jesus being a ransom for us is the reason we're here today. Praise God. It's all his grace, and we want to live in that. Amen? Okay. Well, let's pray together, and then we'll have a closing song. Now, Father, I want to thank you for this message. Thank you that Jesus tells us and demonstrates to us how to live. Be a servant. Abba, Father, we want to afresh ask you to work in our hearts so we can crucify our sinful desires and our selfishness and keep growing and serving. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all the ways they serve already. But I pray, Father, especially where we work, where we go to school, where we live, show us new people to serve. Help us be a blessing to them. Let us honor your name and make Jesus Christ look good to other people. It's through him we pray. Amen.